Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD or iHeart or wherever you downloaded us from. Thanks very much for doing that. Do tell your friends about us. We have a great guest for you. This is the B segment. The A segments, the latest news of the week, and largely non-COVID news. We try and make it non-COVID because you probably get too much COVID news already. And the latest news of the week and what it means to you is the A, and the B are always wonderful guests. Today we have a guest from the Cleveland Clinic, Dr. Marwan Hamadi, who's an endocrinologist, and he's going to talk to us about wearables for people with diabetes, especially glucose monitoring. The sponsor of our podcast is Persona Nutrition. I use Persona for my personalized supplements. You can too. If you want to have some fun, take the free online assessment to get supplements personalized just for you. You can go to mypersona.com, mypersona.com. And thank you for doing so. By the way, you get a discount if you go to mypersona.com and go /Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N, my last name. You get a discount on your first couple orders. And by the way, today is the release of the new book, the What to Eat When Cookbook. You can find out more about that at wenway.com. Dr. Hamadi is an endocrinologist at the Cleveland Clinic. His specialty interests include diabetes, prediabetes, and endocrinology. He's part of the Cleveland Clinic's Diabetes Center care team, and we're privileged to have him on. So, Dr. Hamadi, tell us what the training for an endocrinologist is. What do you have to go through to get that if you will, moniker of an endocrinologist?
Hello, and thank you for having me and giving chance to talk today about wearable devices. With regard to endocrinology, what it includes, after medical school, we had to go through 3 years of internship residency in general internal medicine, followed by 2 years of clinical fellowship. And personally, I elected to do one extra year of research training, which I did at Wayne State University. And I have been in practice since 1998.
Well, your picture makes you look a lot younger than someone who would be in practice for 22 years. So thank you. So one of the things that has probably changed the management of diabetes, and I'm interested in finding out what percent of patients with diabetes, either type 1 or type 2, have this and who it's useful for, is probably the continuous glucose monitoring. So first of all, what is continuous glucose monitoring and who is it used for?
Well, continuous glucose monitoring is mainly used for people using multiple daily injection of insulin for the management of their diabetes, whether it is type 1, type 2, or other types of diabetes. Typically, when we use glucose monitoring using the usual meter and test strips, we are getting a blood draw or drop of a blood from the fingertip and applying it to the test strips. We can get information up to 5 times a day, 8 times a day, as much as you would like to test, which it is very good.
So that would be the patient sticking themselves 5 to 8 times a day to be able to monitor their glucose to know what insulin to give themselves. Is that right?
Correct. And practically how many times they need to monitor their blood sugars to adjust the glucose is usually less frequent in the 3 to 4 times a day. Many times they need to monitor more often for other reasons, like if they think they are having high blood sugars, low blood sugars, or simply before driving to verify that their blood sugars is fine before they drive a vehicle and they are safe for that. So it does require multiple times to get a good idea. Yeah. So that's the usual way of monitoring, and for sure it is still a good way of monitoring. By all means, with today's technology, we have a better way to get more comprehensive approach. That may decrease the number of glucose testing. It may not eliminate it 100%, but for sure it will cut down significantly on the testing. And that's the continuous glucose monitor, which instead of testing the blood drop for blood sugar, it is testing the fluid under the skin called interstitial fluid. And by doing that through a small catheter, very tiny, that will be inserted through the skin and connected to a sensor, it will provide analysis of the blood sugars continuously. Most sensors would report that every 5 minutes.
And I understand they insert that sensor in themselves. It's a little pad-like device. It's about the size of, 2 inches by 1 inch or something like that?
Depends on the type of the sensor. It could be the size of the nickel or little bigger. By all means, it is a small size that they can keep inserted 24/7. For up to 10 days or 14 days, depends on the model and the brand. So it is providing continuous flow of information as many times as the patient wants to check their blood sugars. The information is available. And they could get the help to adjust their insulin, verify if they have low blood sugars or not. And also it provides information for their medical providers for to help with adjusting insulin, get better idea how well their control is.
And when they put this in and start monitoring, do they have to get pricks to or blood samples and what we would call a blood monitor or blood sticks to be able to... finger sticks to be able to know where they are, or do these devices have natural controls so that you know where they are, meaning they're accurate right from the start, or do you have to adjust them?
Depends on the model. Some models would require calibration, and you need to calibrate anywhere from once a day to multiple times a day. And some of them don't need any calibration. Still, you would need to check the blood sugars, for example, for the first 12 hours of the use of a sensor for one model till the sensor is more reliable and working correctly. And always we need to keep the old friend with us, the test strips. We should not give them up. They should be always handy in case the sensor is not functioning well, or sometimes because of some procedure. Let's say having an MRI or CT scan, the patient might be asked to remove the sensor, and then the patient is without a sensor for a period of time. And during those period also, the test strips are very handy for knowing where the blood sugars are.
And now you said this is mainly for type 1 diabetics or type 2 who have multiple injections. One of my friends who is healthy, if you will, got one of these devices so he could monitor what happens to his blood sugar, because he believes strongly that blood sugar is a important thing to keep low. Do you ever get requests from people who aren't diabetics for these?
We do on occasions, and practically the one thing that I would say is the differentiation between a glucose monitor and diagnostic reading. For somebody without a diagnosis of a problem of the blood sugars, the reliability of the reading gets to be on a question. And it is a simple principle in statistics. How reliable the device is depends on the presence or absence of a condition. If somebody has no diagnosis of diabetes and they are using the device, then we think the device is reliable enough. If they don't, then we have some question about the reliability. Typically, I don't advise using it among people without diabetes. Till they have a known diagnosis, they should verify by the usual way for testing in terms of fasting glucose, A1C, and sometimes glucose tolerance test if there is still some doubt after those two tests are being performed.
Yes, and another question we got when we tweeted out that we were going to put that we were going to talk about this subject was, how much does it cost, and is it covered by most or any insurance company?
Well, the cost varies also according to the model, and some of the models are very affordable, and relative to monitoring 5 or 6 times a day, it might be comparable. That's assuming using test strips that are branded. Test strips that are generic might be less expensive than continuous glucose monitoring, and most of the time they are less expensive than continuous glucose monitoring. Most insurance companies cover them for people who use multiple daily injections, especially if they showed that previously they have been adhering to glucose monitoring 4 or 5 times a day, and they are using the information to adjust their insulin regimen.
So we've talked a little bit. Can you tell us about, you've probably got some vast experience. What are the less expensive forms? What are the less expensive ones? And do the less expensive ones require more calibration and the more expensive, less calibration? Is that the differentiation? Or what's the meaning? Calibration meaning more, if you will, finger sticks and use of, if you will, the test strips as well. What's the difference in cost, or what makes the difference in cost?
Well, the cost really doesn't have anything to do with the need for calibration. So some of the less expensive models may need no calibration at all. Some of the more expensive models, they could require more calibration, and depends on the way we use them. We did speak briefly on one way of using them in terms of the adjustment of the insulin injection. Another way of using them is integrated to insulin pump, and that provides a more sophisticated way of insulin delivery. And it has been a very helpful way for patients with type 1 diabetes or any type of diabetes where they don't make much of insulin on their own. And because the measurement of blood sugars by continuous glucose monitoring may allow the pump to adjust the insulin delivery. And there are different levels of intervention where it is just simple decrease insulin delivery or shutting off the insulin if low blood sugars is anticipated. And it might go to more sophisticated intervention in the insulin delivery to give a little extra or little less insulin based on the blood sugars 24/7, what we call it, the closed loop. The technology is always advancing, and the feature are changing every year. We're having a better feature for those pumps that allowing significantly better glucose management, meaning blood sugars control, and less risk of low blood sugars, which it is really significant. So some of those meters or continuous glucose monitors, to enable them to do their job correctly for insulin pump and to trust them to adjust the insulin, require more adjustment or calibration to ensure the accuracy of the measurement, especially when the pump notice that there is a big deviation from the usual. The blood sugars are much higher than usual despite giving insulin. There is rapid decline of the blood sugars despite slowing down the insulin delivery. The pump is going to give an alert to monitor the blood sugars by the usual finger stick, verify the measurement, inform the sensor and the pump of the new measurement, and proceed with the treatment. So as you notice, the issue of calibration and cost are not closely related. It depends on the specific of the usage.
We've been talking with Dr. Marwan Hamady, H-A-M-A-T-Y, an endocrinologist at Cleveland Clinic. You can go to clevelandclinic.org and go to the Diabetes Center to find out more about him. We're going to continue. And Dr. Hamady, I wanted to ask a couple questions about people who have said they're not taking insulin because they heard it causes weight gain, and they want to avoid that because they are type 2 diabetics and they already have too much weight. Does this device require a diabetic to be taking insulin, or could someone who is on one of the other insulin or one of the other diabetic related drugs take this? They're not taking insulin at all, but they want better control of their diabetes.
And I assume we're still talking about the continuous glucose monitoring. And with that regard, patients not on insulin, still they could use the continuous glucose monitoring to get better idea about their blood sugars. They could use one of the less expensive models that as an out-of-pocket expense. That's one possibility, but a better option is that most insurance companies cover what we call it professional continuous glucose monitoring, which is kind of a blinded service most of the time, depends on the sensor we use, where the patient is not really seeing what their blood sugars when they are using the sensor. We do have recording of the blood sugars over 2 weeks. Then we review with the patient what their blood sugars are and make adjustment of their regimen. Most insurance companies cover that at least twice a year, and it is adequate for most patients with type 2 diabetes not on insulin.
Now, you've alluded to the fact there are a number of these devices on the market. Where can someone find out more about the difference in the devices and what they might cost? If they want to talk to their physician about it, is there an easy place? I know if you're at the Cleveland Clinic, there probably is a relatively easy place. Tell us where there is and if there is one at the Cleveland Clinic and if there is one elsewhere.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the best place to shop for those devices is to ask a specialized diabetes educator. They are very familiar with those devices as well as their endocrinologist, if they are followed by endocrinologists, and they could have a better idea about those devices. You know, otherwise it would be really.
So it's a diabetes educator, and they, if they have diabetes, they get access to a diabetes educator, and they're the ones who can explain the difference in the devices.
Correct.
Do you have? I'm going to ask you a question. You can tell me you don't want to answer it for other reasons. But do you have a favorite device you like to use with your patients?
Well, I will answer half of the question, which is yes, I do have a favorite device, and I would follow that by my favorite keeps changing. So it is not one single manufacturer, and what it is good is having competition. By having competition, the feature and what our patients are experiencing are significantly changed over the past few years, and the care delivered is much better for our patients. So if you ask me today's favorite, you know, I may give you my today's favorite after the recording is over. I can tell you also what was my last year favorite and the previous year favorite. So it keeps changing, and thanks for competition and the environment we live in allowing that to happen. It really, the main beneficiary at the end is our patient.
So the message is Continuous glucose monitoring has been a major improvement in the armamentarium of every diabetes endocrinologist or endocrinologist who specializes in diabetes. We've been talking with Dr. Marwan Hamady, H-A-M-A-T-Y, who's an endocrinologist at the Cleveland Clinic, about continuous glucose monitoring. And as usual, I'm Dr. Mike Roizen. We're sponsored on the You, the Owner's Manual podcast. It's brought to you by Persona Nutrition. Discover vitamins and supplements personalized for your needs. Take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. That's mypersona, P-E-R-S-O-N-A.com. If you have guests you want to have information about, or if you have someone you want to suggest as a guest or a topic, you can always email me at wenwei.com or D-R-M-I-K-E, Dr. Mike Realage, at gmail.com. But you can find out much more about everything we do at wenwei.com. That's the site for our book, What to Eat When Cookbook, and the What to Eat When book as well. Thanks very much. And Dr. Hamady, thank you very much for being so informative for our guests.
Thank you.
Caitlin, thanks for great engineering. This has been 1014B. You'll want to listen to the 1014A, the latest medical news of the week that isn't COVID, where we talked about the reason why you want to have coffee and blueberries in your daily routine. Thanks again. We'll be back next week with another episode of You, the Owner's Manual podcast, with another wonderful guest, as well as the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. Thanks again.